We're going to have our conversation with John Orr, this week's guest, Mr. Bruce Buckmaster, member of the State Wildlife Fish and Wildlife Commission, to talk about wildlife management, how we're doing. I think we're going to touch on the subject of wolves. I think this is going to be part one of a series because there's a lot of topics to deal with in the area of wildlife management as, obviously, human habitat increasingly encroaches upon wildlife habitat. That's at 9:30.
Support for Friday Public Affairs comes in part from the Blue Scorcher Bakery Cafe, baking up community one loaf at a time. Located at 15th and Duane Astoria, bluescorcher.coop and 503-338-7473. Open daily from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m.
And just briefly on the weather, it looks like it's going to be a nice weekend, clear and sunny all the way through Sunday. It's going to be on the chilly side at night. Low's about 30. So this is a conversation with John Orr. And this week's topic is Oregon wildlife management. How are we doing? And I guess to get started here, I will recount my own personal observations as a fairly longtime resident of Clatsop County. Most recently, my encounters in wildlife include in a typical walk, because I like to walk, in the city of Astoria, I will see a dozen, sometimes more, deer within a 10-block radius. So that's kind of interesting. And it seems like every year the population of these ungulates increases and the density of them as they seek forage and food increases. They are reproducing like crazy. I guess there's no reason to put a finer point on it than that. So there's the deer situation, and then there's the elk situation. Certainly running into elk is not unheard of and not uncommon in these parts, and so that's a hazard.
Support for Friday Public Affairs comes
I'm bumping
in part
things
from the blue
with my elbow. Sorry about that. So, there's the elk, and then there's the cougar. The increasing conflict and encounters with the elk and the cougars and the deer and wolves. So, with that, we're going to hear from Mr. Bruce Buckmaster. Let me go grab him. So, Bruce is temporarily detained, shall we say. So, if you have calls, the number here is 503-325-0010, 503-325-0010. And, I travel to eastern Oregon, during the hunting season, and anecdotally there is evidence that some of the deer and the elk populations are getting thinned out. And, of course, anecdotally speaking, again, only there are thoughts among those participating in the hunt that that the wolves and perhaps other apex predators, as they are called, are taking a greater toll upon the hunted, the deer and the elk. So I don't know if that's the case, and if anybody has knowledge or studies or has a wildlife management background or is looking at their computer for such information, please feel free to call in. And, the debate is ongoing, has been ongoing for many years with respect to the wolves, and namely the competition between those who advocate for restoring and repopulating the state of Oregon with wolves to their pre-decimation numbers, pre-maybe human habitat numbers, versus those who are ranching and trying to ranch for a living, and the toll that takes on their livelihood and their attempts to supply a population, a large population, a hungry population of beef eaters. So that's the situation as we confront it. And so if you have any thoughts about wolves, our topic today is wolves, and Mr. Bruce Buckmaster there in microphone number 4 with his headphones on is going to perhaps give us a little background. But if you got a question or a comment that you're just itching to share with our listening public, then we most warmheartedly welcome it. But first, let's welcome Bruce. Will you talk into that can first?
Good morning, John.
Okay, keep that thing about 4 fingers away. And so, okay, how's that? Testing?
Is that good?
A little closer, 4 fingers. Really bring it up there. How's
that?
Okay, now talk into it.
Good morning, John.
Okay, it is a very good morning, and we are so happy to have Bruce Buckmaster join this well-oiled machinery at KMUN for a conversation with John Orr. Well, thank you for coming. Let's jump right to it. What's going on with the wolves, either in terms of policy, proposed legislation, or the status of the animals themselves? Fire away.
Well, honestly, John, I'm not up to date on what legislation is going through Oregon at this point, if any. I am, however, aware of where we are with the famous wolf plan. The original wolf plan in Oregon was crafted by a broad spectrum of Oregonians from the ranching, agriculture, advocacy, conservation experts got together. They worked out a wolf plan, how many wolves, where they should go, how we would deal with wolves in Oregon. That plan went through a 5 years. We hit some milestones that were highlighted within the plan, and we were asked to remove the wolves in the eastern section of Oregon from the endangered species list, the Oregon endangered species list. And based upon what we did with the plan, what the plan called for, we did that as a Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission. At the same time, we were in the middle, we had begun the process of updating the wolf plan. They called for updating it every 5 years. That 5 years was up, I believe, in 2015. It began the process again. Many of the same people were involved. It's been on and off as far as how it is update has been processing, and the latest there was a group of wolf advocates who walked away from the table here in the last few months. We now have an updated wolf plan on the agenda to be approved or disapproved by the Fish and Wildlife Commission at an upcoming meeting. That particular meeting has not been set so that we can talk to constituents and hear what Oregonians have to say.
So will there be public hearings or meetings where people can come in and give their 2 cents?
There have been meetings around the state, and there will be more by the commission. The commission, before it makes any rules, and this is approving a new wolf plan, would be rulemaking under our organization, then we would have public testimonies.
Very good. Looks like we got our first caller. Thanks for calling Conversation with John Orr. What's your comment or question, please?
Well, this is actually not about wolves, and I hope that's okay, because I was all wanting to ask it before the wolf thing started.
Bruce is our expert on wolves, but if you can make your comment brief, fire away.
Well, I was wondering how they decide what's allowable to be killed and what's not, because here they put out rodenticides to timber companies to kill off mountain beavers because they're not a fur animal, therefore not protected like a raccoon.
Okay, well, maybe that's a concise statement of the question. And I guess if, Bruce, you feel comfortable with it, is there a way to weave how they decide what to kill or who to kill or how to kill into this conversation about the wolves?
Well, there are categories of that various animals fall into. There are game animals. The first big split is game animal versus non-game animal. And most of what we're talking about, certainly with the mountain beavers, even the fur-bearing, they are not considered game animals. They have a different set of rules. Then within the non-game animals, we have what are considered fur-bearing that fall under, and your caller mentioned that, certain animals that can be trapped, and there are rules according to that. Other animals, quite frankly, I'm not aware of how they decide what is allowable. There is no season on them, certainly. There's no hunting per se. There's no trapping per se. Do they have any protections? It's a great question, and frankly, I'll have to find out.
Yeah, and I want to have you back on this program, depending how it goes today. Just kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
No, okay. Well, that's good. I really am interested in all those topics. That's why I preface this show by saying it's part one, because there are a lot of things going on with the increasing human populations and all the activities that humans bring with them. So I want to go back to the wolves, because that's today's topic. Is do you think it's a good plan that they've arrived at that's in proposal form?
I have read the plan. It is largely unchanged from the original plan, which I believe was a very good plan. It worked. The state of Oregon, the citizens of Oregon decided, and the commission before I served on it affirmed that we would have wolves on the landscape in Oregon. We did not go out and import these wolves. They came in of their own volition. They are here. The decision in the early wolf plan was there would be no hunting, there would be no trapping, there would be no poisoning, all things that were used to extirpate the wolves from Oregon in the early part of the 20th century. And so we're going to have wolves. Mm-hmm. It's a good plan. It's a plan that tells us that we're going to have wolves, and how are we going to deal with wolves on the landscape. The new plan contains much of what was in the old plan. It fine-tunes how we deal with problem wolves going into the future. But
Were the ranchers happy with the proposed plan for the wolves as it stands now?
No, absolutely not.
And the environmentalists, were
no,
they happy?
No, absolutely
with it?
Not.
Now, you're a wizened creature here. When two parties on opposite sides of an issue disagree, does that give you some indication about the quality of the proposal?
Well, it certainly tells you you've arrived somewhere in the middle ground, which in general tells you you're pretty close to something that resembles good policy. Now, I'll have to change my answer to your questions. When you say ranchers, when you say environmental groups, there's a broad spectrum in each of those categories. And so I don't want to characterize ranching as being a monolith or a conservation as far as their opinion.
So the environmentalists, I guess, is if that is the term, although it's maybe over-encompassing, walked away from the process at some point, and was this recently, and why?
Well, they put out a press release, and it was a group that was involved. There was the Center for Biological Diversity, Defenders of Wildlife. I don't know. I know those two. I can't tell you the others, if there were others. Their stated position is best characterized by going to one of their websites and reading their reasoning. They say it. They are best at saying why they left. It is my understanding that they felt the process was not fair enough. They mentioned that the facilitator who had been brought in was not allowed to do her job. That is one of the questions I will ask the facilitator when she comes before the commission. I've talked to the director of Oregon Fish and Wildlife, and he assures me that she was able to do her job unfettered, unencumbered, and that the Fish and Wildlife people, staff that served as resources for the committee, the work group, were more advocates than non-biased providers of information. So those were the major things that I understood were the cause of dissatisfaction. They felt it had been stacked somehow. But
the environmentalists thought that the process and the constituents of that process in terms of administering the process were biased in favor of maybe a rancher's perspective or opposed to let the wolves run free?
Well, actually, that part gets a little murky. It infers that, but it didn't come right out and say it. It didn't say that there are certain things that they wanted within the plan that somehow, because of the way the plan was administered, was prevented from getting in the plan. So I don't know. We'll hear more in the future.
Okay. Well, this is a conversation with John Orr. Our guest today is the esteemed Mr. Bruce Buckmaster, member of the State Oregon Commission, Fish and Wildlife Commission, if I can spit it out, time for another cup of coffee. And we're inviting soliciting your calls, 503-325-0010. Today's topic is Oregon Wildlife Management, How We're Doing, Part 1. This is about the wolf. So if you have questions or comments, thoughts or concerns or fears about the wolf population growing or as it is being managed, I guess it takes a certain amount of information to know and critique the management, but that's okay even if you haven't done that. Give us your calls if you have something you'd like to say to your community. And with that, I guess let's just bring it home. Let's make it local. Is there anything people in Clatsop County, rural Clatsop County, Seaside, Astoria, Cannon Beach, have to fear from this plan in terms of increased contact between humans and wolves?
Well, not in the immediate future, I will say, John. But this plan does not have limits on where wolves will go. If we look at historic distribution of wolves in the state of Oregon, they certainly were in the coastal range, and there's no reason to believe they wouldn't be. There are anecdotal comments about wolf tracks and hearing wolf howls, a single wolf in the Elsie area within the last year. But there, to the best of our knowledge, there's been no wolves have been captured on game cams or none of the people who we would assume could do a positive identification have said there are any wolves. But these wolves are dogs.
They will rove. They will reproduce like crazy. Let's hold it right there and pick it up. We have a caller. This is a conversation with John Orr. Thanks for the call. What's your comment or question, please? Are you there?
Oh, hello, yes.
Yeah, fire away.
Well, I'm a fifth-generation Oregonian, and, you know, I know it was really cool. We had wolves here in the past, but I believe they were a smaller variety of wolves than the big timber wolves that are here now that came out of Canada were introduced into Yellowstone.
You mean smaller in physical stature?
I believe size. They were lighter weight. I don't know. That's what I've heard.
Okay.
Anyway, my concern is that, you know, at some point we need to manage them. And if they do become out of control, then there should be some sort of limited hunting or something like that to control their populations, just like we do with our big game animals. And I just wonder, you know, should we reintroduce them into Forest Park? You know, I'm sure the people in Portland that love this kind of having the wolves run around in the woods and decimating the elk and deer populations, I used to hunt in Eastern Oregon. I just gave up because, really, I don't see much game out there anymore. And, you know, like I say, I find it fascinating. Listening to a wolf howl is pretty cool. But, we're managing everything else, and I think they should be managed. And some sort of plan should be in place, but short of every 5 years, because in 5 years, I mean, they've really traveled a long ways, and they're all over the place now. And if it does become a problem, we have to wait 5 years for people to get together and say, hey, maybe we should have a controlled hunt and reduce some of their numbers. That's what concerns me.
Well, thank you so much for your call. Let's give Mr. Buckmaster an opportunity to respond if you can.
Yeah, well, caller, you packed a lot into a very short time, and I will try and break it out. Whether or not this is the identical wolf that was that populated Oregon in the 18th, early 19th, and early 20th century, I simply don't know. We know that this is the gray wolf. This is the same wolf that's in Canada. There are 60,000 up there. They're the wolves that came into Yellowstone, and it came by its own. Those wolves, OR2 and OR4, they came into Oregon on their own. So whether or not I don't think that is an issue that evidently has not been strong enough to change the decision to allow wolves back into Oregon. Now, but you get to the point that I think is one of the ones that is most important to me personally as a commissioner, and that is, how do we manage populations? There are certain groups that would like, I call them predator-centric groups, and that is not negative. They focus on how we deal with those animals. They would talk about hunting. You talk about controlled hunting, controlled hunts as a management tool. They say, we don't think it's fair to have trophy hunting on any of these animals, wolves, cougars, any of the apex predators. But since we're talking about wolves, that seems to me to be one of the biggest issues that we're going to hear about as we consider approving the wolf plan. This wolf plan should have in it how we will manage wolves going forward, with the flexibility for staff to make changes and to implement different strategies as we move forward without waiting for another 5 years. There are people who ask the commission to never, ever, ever, ever allow hunting of wolves. Now I'm getting away from the plan or the staff recommendation and talking about my personal belief. And I think it more closely aligns with you that one of the tools for managing populations of large animals is hunting. And that should be an option that is available to professional fish and wildlife biologists and ODFW staff to manage the wolf population, because it's not going to increase uniformly across the landscape. It's going to increase in some areas very quickly. The wolves then will disperse, but in the meantime, prior to dispersal, they could cause a great deal of damage, and there may be a place where, say, in Wallawa County, Union County, we might want to allow pressure that would be placed that would enhance dispersal by allowing some hunting. That is not something that's going to happen in the near term. And you did not talk about it in the near term, but it is a tool, a management tool, that I think is my belief, needs to be available and in the plan. So that's going to be one of the biggest issues that we deal with, people on both sides of whether or not, hunting should ever be used. I prefer that over the idea of dealing with the individuals and hiring wildlife services to take these animals.
Well, I have to say that given what I've seen about the cougar populations all over the country, it seems like we're headed for more of these interactions, and they don't always end well between cougars and humans and bulls. But we have a caller. Thanks for calling the conversation with John Orr. What's your comment?
Hi. I have a question now about both wolves and cougars, and it overlaps. I live in Jewell with sheep, and the cougars are very discreet. There have always been cougars around Jewell area, Elsie, and I've never seen evidence of them outright anywhere near my sheep. And they seem to really learn. Most of them learn. And do the wolves learn?
Learn what, caller? What are you talking about learning?
If the bad wolves get hauled away because they're killing sheep and livestock, do the remaining wolves learn to be discreet and stay away from livestock?
That's a great question. So let's turn that one over to Mr. Buckmaster.
That is a great question, and it is a question that reminds me how important it would have been for me to have Derek Broman, our wolf expert from ODFW, here with me on this show to give an informed answer to that question. I know that when we have lethally removed wolves that have predated in eastern Oregon, that...
Meaning preyed on livestock, typically.
Thank you, John.
You bet.
That's correct. And that's... In some cases, we have seen a reduction, and that the rest of that pack has not continued with the behavior. We have listened to testimony that says when you remove... the alpha male, alpha female from a pack, you also remove the potential that these younger animals will not be as discreet. Now, I will caution. I will caution myself.
You mean if you get rid of the alpha male, you have taken some steps to reduce or minimize the aggressiveness?
Well, let's say that no matter who the mom and dad are, if you take them away from it and you leave the house in charge of the teenagers, it might not be the best idea. So that's some of the decisions that are faced by the professionals. I will make one comment about your question, which was a great question, is bad wolves. I'm careful not to say that a wolf, even if it takes a cow, a calf, a sheep, that it's a bad wolf. It's just a wolf. These are behaviors. It's doing what wolves do. And the behaviors of wolves, some behaviors we find acceptable and some we don't. There is a lot of training. Defenders of Wildlife has... worked closely with ranching people in the West and wolf country on how to what ranchers can do to minimize the impact of wolves on the landscape, which I appreciate. These are ways to they're ways you can train and things you can do with your livestock to minimize the potential.
Yeah, and that's all well and good, but you know, it just seems to me foreseeable. At this point, and I'd like your opinion on it as we start to wrap up this show, that it is foreseeable that the conflicts between cougars and the interactions, sometimes they're kittens and sometimes and human wins, or sometimes it's the cougar that attacks the hiker and prevails and has a meal. So it just seems to me foreseeable that these wolves, which, how many litters do they have per year? Bruce?
I
think they're capable of having two or three.
Yeah.
And the number of young wolves, they have a name for that, pups, they have per litter typically is?
Same as a dog.
So it can be 10 or 12. Yeah. So you could go from one pair of wolves producing 30 new wolves every year. That would be in the category of exponential growth, would it not be?
It would be. Nobody's expecting that. But also, none of the biologists that we've talked to that have testified before us do not see a rapid growth without putting a hard number, even calling it exponential. It will be rapid.
Yes, it will be rapid, and therefore the idea that there will be no hunting, which is, it seems to my mind anyway, the singular method of controlling populations which are growing rapidly, or as I predict, out of control, if the wolves really do what wolves do, which is eat, reproduce, kind of like humans, I guess that's fair, we're going to probably have to look at that predator control method again. What do you think?
I think that having that is the biggest question we face, whether or not we will, in this new wolf plan, have that as an option. And while I do not intend to hunt wolves, I think the hunting of wolves is one of the effective ways of controlling and managing a population.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we're going to have to wrap it up there. This button on this board doesn't seem to want to do my bidding. So anyway, it's coming up on 10 o'clock. It is KMUN 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM, streaming live at coastradio.org. You've just listened to a conversation with John Orr, with Bruce Buckmaster, who is a member of the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission. We'd like to thank Mr. Buckmaster for his time and his insights today. We'll be back next week, and we're looking forward to returning to the topic. And the topic next week will still be determined, but we're going to cover cougar. Maybe we'll have his guest that's the expert on wolf. We're going to cover deer. We're going to cover elk. And so we're coming up on headline news. It's going to be sunny all weekend. It may be little showers today, but we are just about out of time here. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week at 9:30 on Friday for a conversation with John Orr.